Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to sit back and experience something in the magic and the mystery of this journey that we're having on this earth. What are we all about? How does our body work? What happens when things seem to go awry? How can we seem to find a path out of it, around it, or perhaps through it? And how can we say, there's messages I'm seeing along the way about my health and wellness. How can I take those messages and find something that will fit in to be able to help me? Wow, I know that's a lot, and it kind of seems a little out there. But today my guest is C. Norman Shealy. Conversations with G is the book, A Physician's Encounter with Heaven. Dr. Shealy, thank you so much for joining us today. It is such a pleasure to have you with us.
Very mutual. Thank you, Dr. Jeanette.
So, Dr. Shealy, don't you think that the ideas that I look back on the 50s and 60s and say, wow, that is so rudimentary the way they did things, because I've been in healthcare for, you know, almost six decades, and I think, did we really do things like that? And now I look at today and I say, how far we have come, yes?
Well, you know, interestingly, even in the JAMA, an article published in 2000 said that the third leading cause of death in the United States is the medical system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, don't you think that it's the idea of sometimes we limit our healing in our mind, don't you think? And that's what got it stuck?
Absolutely. In fact, the reason it's so bad is that medicine 300 years ago kicked the soul out.
Right. Yeah. You know, I almost look back on history, and I just said this. I did another show with someone, and we were talking about history, and I said, you look at the pyramids, and we had such a time of enlightenment. And then we look at the time of cowboys and Indians, and we said they were just into survival, you know. And now we look at where we are, and we're looking at robotics in medicine and all of this AI stuff. And, wow, how do we take all these jumps, you know, in just so many eons, yes?
Just passive lack of resistance is the way I see it. You know, we need to be active in our understanding, in our actions, in our minds.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Shealy, can you share about your book, Conversations with G? How did you even think about this? Because I know a lot of physicians now are really having this time where they're saying, I know medicine isn't right, but I don't know what else to do. And you talk about it, and you say right on your cover, Physician's Encounter with Heaven. We know that wasn't in the school books when we went to school, right?
No, indeed. Interestingly, I've always been rather intuitive in my answers and knowing. And I never realized until actually the 1980s that I had an angelic guide. One night in December 1984, I awoke talking to 12 angelic voices. I'm sitting up trying to make notes of 1, 2, 3 through 18, the different voices
right.
that I heard. And I met my personal angel, Muriel, and that was the same year that all of a sudden I asked a question and I heard a male voice, and he introduced himself as my teacher. And since then, he has been a major contributor to my intuition, to my discoveries. I have 5 patents that came directly from him. And so he tells me that actually he puts the information there and I have to pick it up mentally. And somehow we connect sometimes with words, but sometimes just with knowing.
Right. And I think that's so vitally important to be able to be in tune with your sense, with your gut, with your head, with your thoughts, with your intuition. It's just something that's out there, and you just kind of pick it up. I know for myself, in the early 50s, I remember many angels coming. I had one specifically I talk about on the radio all the time when I was really cold and I was outside and I was kind of like huddled underneath a bush because I was outside all day, locked outside, and I was really hungry. And I remember distinctly seeing a hand hand me radishes and then giving me some water to drink and then putting me inside of a location to be warm. I distinctly remember that. And then I remember also times when I would go in to maybe help a patient when I was practicing naturopathic medicine and in Arizona, and I would walk in and I really had no sense of anything. And it just came out of me, this is the answer, this is what you do, this is how you help them, and you let them go on and then you move on. And so many times it's like, don't you think sometimes we want to prejudge, we want to say this is the way it is, when we get in these situations and we have these experiences, don't you think sometimes people say they resist that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, hunches are messages, in my opinion. Not mm-hmm. always, but they always are part of the mind. But often I look at the soul as essentially the master puppeteer.
Right.
You know, if we pay attention to the true divine messages, we don't go astray.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the soul as sort of sitting on my right shoulder.
Right.
Me. And one of the most striking that I recall from the very early 90s, I'd had this idea that there is a reason why people lose dehydroepiandrosterone, the most important anti-stress hormone.
Right.
After age 40, it's down already by 50% in most people. And so I had an idea that maybe we should restore it by using progesterone because women stop producing progesterone as they go into menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the study, and it worked, but it wasn't good enough. And I said, okay, what else can I do? I just said it aloud. And out of the blue came in my guy, G, and he said, well, Norman, if you would stimulate the points that connect the kidneys, with the gonads,
right.
with the adrenals, with the thyroid, and the pituitary, through a wonder of the sky point, it will raise DHEA. And that
right.
was the first actually patentable scientific idea. I picked up the acupuncture points, and I tested it with stimulation of those points, and lo and behold, it raised DHEA.
Yeah, I think the idea sometimes that we're looking for one singular answer, you know, cut it out, burn it out, drug it down, whatever it might be, is really the concepts where we have been living by for the past few centuries. And, you know, it's funny when you said that because I always would work with clients and I would say, okay, well, you know, we're going to do some meditation, you're going to do some massage, you're going to do an acupuncture, you're going to take an herb and fix this in your diet, check this in your lifestyle. I almost like had a list of like maybe 50 things, you know, you could possibly do in 50 arenas. And the idea was is that they said, oh my gosh, I can't do all that stuff. That's way too much. And I just wanted one thing. And really what you're sharing is when you're talking about DHEA, it's really not that you give more DHEA or you stop the process of DHEA or you increase it. In other words, do you tonify it? Do you block it? It's really about how many different ways is DHEA activated, worked on, engaging in. It's not just a bodily function of a hormone. It has so many other things. When you talk about the acupuncture points, how did the energy, what made it create it? What brought it into existence in the first place? You know, and all of that, you could take that exponentially out, and I'm sure you will eventually, is that there's so many different engagements of it, yes?
Yes, I now have six different techniques, each of which will increase your DHEA on average of 60%. and most people need to increase to triple or better their DHEA by the time they're in their 60s.
And all of the different ways is really where the magic begins, yes?
Oh, yes. We are very multidimensional. In fact, I think the universe is multidimensional.
Yeah, and how do you think that all that fits in when people's concepts are so linear? Don't you think it's kind of hard to, at present, for some to grasp that concept?
Oh, yes. I think it's part of the educational system, which is so rigid. But I had a wonderful teacher, for instance, in geometry, and she gave us an exam, and you had to go through all these steps, and she just walked by my desk and said, "Oh, Norm, you know what to do. Just put down the answer."
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the, you know, unusual teachers who recognized that I didn't necessarily have to do all the steps.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
No longer what used to be is working, and people are coming up against a wall. I mean, we see it in the increase in pain, increase in addictions. You know, if you don't have five or six chronic diseases by the time you're 60, hey, what are you doing, you know? Right? That's the truth.
It. You know, I'll be 86 next Tuesday, but I still feel 26, physically, energetically, mentally, and emotionally.
And I think that people want to say, oh, well, how can I box that? But don't you think that everybody is also an individual? You specifically have it, you know, and you're in a healthy space, but others in their existence, they might be looking to experience unconditional love. They might be looking to experience how to learn something differently. So in other words, not everyone's experience is to be perfection of body, mind, and soul. Their experience might be just that.
Oh, absolutely. To me, there's only one purpose in life, and that's to help other people. And how you help other people is take care of yourself so that you can do it. But the person who made this phone I'm sitting here with right now is just as important as I am. The person who put the carpet down here is just as important as I am. We all are multi-talented, and some people have one specific talent that is, you know, outstanding, but anything you do that is designed to help is worthwhile, and to me, part of the spiritual life.
Let's talk for a second. You share about chakras in your book, and people say, that's for the woo-woo people. Hey, what's up with that? You know what? I had somebody. Oh, we'll talk about. Let's talk about this first because I got something else. So, how do you get a? You know, it's almost like someone will say, "How do you get away with an MD after your name and talk about chakras?" People say, "Well, something going on there, right?"
I just look at the nervous system. Each chakra is associated with a specific nervous plexus. The first chakra is the sciatic plexus. The sixth is the pelvic plexus. The third is the solar plexus. In anatomy, as well as in metaphysics, we call it the solar plexus. Mm-hmm. The fourth is the heart plexus, our nervous system. The fifth is your neck and willpower. The sixth is your brain, the ultimate control system, if you will, in the physical body. And the seventh is the connection with the soul.
Right, and I think a lot of your protocols are really about how do you engage in everything in a person's existence and in their body and all of their energetics. You know, I think it's interesting we look at medicine and we say, if we even just take the heart and we say you go to a cardiologist, if you have problems with your blood, you go to hematology. If you have problems with your circulation, you know, you can go to somebody else. But hey, if there's something wrong with your heart, you go to a heart surgeon. And we've really divvied up the body. And when we've done that, I think perhaps maybe that's the wall we hit, yes?
Well, I think part of the problem was when we began to give up general family medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I grew up, there weren't very many specialists. And our family physician was almost a member of the family. I mean, he was a friend.
Right.
And one of my reasons for going into medicine, of course, was my association with Dr. Rames. But, mm-hmm. again, it was a feeling of love. And love to me is, again, help, desire to help other people.
Right. I think that was the nature of our expansion of people now. We're all over the place. We're so transitory and, you know, there's so many people. I remember also my physician in the 50s. It seems like I always had a sore throat really bad around Christmas time. And he would always come to the house and I would just, you know, that was a time when you just got a shot of penicillin, you didn't have pills or any of that other stuff. And I always look back on that and I said, I now realize why I always got sick at Christmas time. It was because there was so much chaos in our house all the time with a lot of issues that I really just wanted everybody to come together and be okay for like one day. In other words, let's be quiet. Let's sit down. Let's do something. It was like trying to shift the energy. I think a lot of your protocols, too, are about how can we shift the energy? How can we change the story? Yes?
The most important thing in the world, in my mind, is being able to detach from those things you cannot change. For instance, in my opinion, the most serious problem that's ever been created is nuclear energy. And although I could fight it, I know I can't possibly change it. Therefore, I'm not going to waste my life energy on something I can't do anything about. I'm totally detached. And I've taught myself through mental practices like autogenic training and meditation, just let it go. If I can't do something about it, use my energy to do something I can do.
And I think sometimes when you do that, it really is sort of like it's your existence when you come up against something else, like a disease or something. You say, how can I help how my body is working right now in all ways possible? And then be able to support it. In other words, sometimes people say, well, I have to be healed. I have to be cured. And they expect that means perfection like 20, age 20 again. When sometimes when you're healed, you know, you could be healed of the struggle. You could be healed of some of the pains, but you could still have pain, but you could be in a better place. Don't you think that that's the truth?
Oh, absolutely that. Now, for instance, a lady came in my office this morning, and she's had a cough and, you know, just not felt well now for several weeks. Well, she does have a little crackle in her left lower lung, and I'm giving her an IV of 75 grams of vitamin C right now.
Right.
Because that can give a big boost to the immune system. On the other hand, this particular lady I know reasonably well from the past, and she does have a good attitude. And sometimes we do need that additional boost, which could be acupuncture or any naturopathic or homeopathic approach. But attitude is the single most important thing.
Yeah, I think the views you uphold about the world around you and the world in which you're in is what's important, yes?
Absolutely.
Do you think that sometimes disease is resistance?
Oh, yes. I think, actually, my really greatest belief about illness is that 90% minimum is the result of one's lifelong attitude. 10% is truly genetic and may come through, or karmic, if you will, no matter what. But 90% is whether or not you, every day, spend a minimum of 90% of your time doing something positive. The problem today is too many people don't have adequate self-esteem. That begins early in childhood. If the child was unwanted or the child feels unwanted, doesn't matter whether something happened, if the child feels as if they're being abandoned or unloved, then they lose their ability to detach with oxytocin.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Norman, don't you also think that that was a factor of post-war, in the early 1900s? And also, it was a great migration to the U.S. when people were not doing so well in other countries like Ireland or Poland or wherever that might have been out of Europe. So I think that while we say, oh, well, that's not me, I think somewhere in our lineage that it may have been picked up and kind of implanted in there. It seems almost everybody, if they look back at that existence, has a piece of it, yes?
No question about it. Interesting, Michelle Lannister wrote a wonderful book called Angelic Transmission some years ago. And in the early pages, she said, in that so-called junk DNA is stored the memories of all of your ancestors.
Right.
So we, in our genes, we carry the Akashic records, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you think, you also talk about past life in your book. Do you have that? What importance does that have? And what can you share about that? Because I think when we say past life, people say, "Oh, that's stuff that I don't really need to know about." And are you really saying of just recent years, or are you saying eons?
Oh, actually, in early Christianity, reincarnation was a part of the central core, but Constantine insisted in the council in 325 that people not be allowed to think they could have a second chance, and so reincarnation was thrown out of the New Testament because of him. And he, rascal that he was, and that's being kind, did not convert to Christianity until his deathbed, so he could continue being a criminal until he was dying, and his sins are going to be forgiven.
Right, yeah.
And I don't think your sins are forgiven necessarily by becoming a Christian. They are forgiven when you recognize your fallibility and do something about it. I have done hundreds and hundreds of past life experiences in people with significant illnesses, and often one particular past life therapy session can change their life forever.
Yeah, I think of the idea of what you're holding on and what they're tethering to has a great influence sometimes as it continues to, and it's sort of like in the past lives, it might have been your entire existence, and then it kind of dwindled away, and you had other things that you needed to work on, and then when you came into this one, it almost seems like everything's in our face these days, you know what I mean? Our present or past, and it seems like everything is coming up for review, don't you think so?
Oh, absolutely. And I often, when I finish a past life session, I take them forward to an angelic committee to discuss that past life and then move on for education for the future.
Yeah, because I think you don't have to stick to the story from the past. It's where you're going to. You know, I even, I had spoken with someone at one time and they said, oh, well, you know, yes. And I went and I had some past life hypnosis and, you know, and I listened to the recording and, oh my gosh, do you want to hear my recording? I've been listening to it. And that was about 2 years ago. And I said, the moment at the time that you went through that process should be just that, let it pass through. And I think to keep attaching to that story will recreate something within that, yes?
Oh, absolutely. What I call unfinished business, anger, guilt, anxiety,
right,
depression is what gets us. And so if you die with anger, you know, guilt, anxiety, depression, you're likely to carry that memory or that emotion with you and have it come
right up
with something that triggers the same kind of feeling in a future life.
Right, and it's really how can we transform that and let the story go and just you know, be able to exist for the moment and see where the story takes us. You know, I think sometimes we want to always say we know where we're going and what are the answers. And I think to have more questions is really more about the journey versus having the answers, do you think?
Oh, absolutely, unequivocally that. You know, I really believe that the important thing is releasing into the hands of God those things you cannot change. And when I finish a session, if somebody, you know, was murdered or had a bad thing, say, okay, release that individual into the hands of God.
Yeah. And I think it's, people say after a session, it almost soothes their soul. In other words, it's almost you sit down and you don't feel the tension of your own body. It's almost as if it expands. Don't you think that's almost a time where you can almost, I mean, I do acupuncture too. It's almost like you could say, oh, my meridians are flowing, or you could almost turn around and say, I almost feel like I'm light, or I feel like something is running through my body. It's not stuck. Don't you think that's a real transformation time?
Unquestioned, one of my favorite exercises is expanding in your mind the electromagnetic energy field around your body. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't realize until 1972 that not everybody sees the energy field around people. I've seen it all my life. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly realized that the paintings of saints and Christ with the aura around them, especially around the head and shoulders, is actually what I call the energy field. It is the electromagnetic energy coming off your body.
Right. You know, it's funny you say that because I think you, as well as I, have come in with certain aspects that we just are. You know, it just is what it is, you know. And now that there's so much more spiritual awakening now, people are tending to say, are you this? And I'm like, I have no clue. What is your definition of it? And I'll let you know if I fit that or not. It's almost, you know, and like one day they said, well, are you clairvoyant or are you clair this? I said, well, I don't know. How many of those are there? And they tell you, and I say, well, I guess I kind of do that already, you know. And don't you think, I think that's really about awareness, yes?
Absolutely. And actually, when I take an answered question in large groups of people, 15 to 20% of people admit that they can see energy around people. To me, it looks somewhat like heat waves, sometimes movement in it and colors and stuff like that. But basically, it's just there's a sort of a fog, if you will, around people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see, mine is, I just have a sense already, and it doesn't show up as defined as yours, but it is my sense. And I think that's where people get stuck. They say, how am I supposed to feel better, and what does feeling better look like to you so that I can let you know when I get there? It's sort of like they say that I'm waiting for the gift of my healing, and my healing is going to be in a silver box with a purple bow. It's going to be written in pink calligraphy, and it's going to have a silver bell on the top that goes ding, not dong. And if it dings, if it dongs, it's not the right package. I think sometimes we get stuck in that paradigm, yes?
Dr. Jeanette, may I say I love you? I love your use of such, descriptions. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And correct.
Well, thank you. I think that I have been on this journey so much myself and experiences, I love to share them. Because, you know, I can tell you there's been many times where, you as well as I, we've had those health challenges. I mean, I can remember a period of time where I said, God is on sabbatical. I don't know where you are, but if you'd like to come back, bring your bags with you and come on, you know. And the idea that it was just a time of transition and movement, and I was looking for those certain things. But when I came through that and on the other side of it, I said, oh, okay, so that's what that looks like. And don't you know, someone came up and they had the same thing. And I said, I just saw that the other day, you know. And don't you think that all of your experiences in your lifetime have been very similar?
Oh, absolutely. We have lessons to learn at a soul level. And, you know, we either learn them or we keep coming back and having the same lessons or worse ones.
Right. You know, someone said to me the other day, they said, if you keep going down the highway and that's whatever your path is or whatever, I don't know. And then they said, when you get off, those are just dead ends. And do you really want to keep getting off in the dead ends? And I say, absolutely get off in the dead ends. That's where the magic is. You know, it's sort of like, can you collect some glitter on that dead end for me? You know, can you get some, you know, in other words, we weren't to just go down a path to not fall. We're not to go down a path to not get sick, to not have a challenge, to not hit a wall, to not have loss or grief or pain or suffering or struggle. That's not really what that is. If we're truly here in the year 2019 to say all of this minutia that we've been carrying for eons and all these past lives is coming up for review, but I'm not going down that highway, and you start defining it, That highway is going to become your river, yes?
Oh, it reminds me of my favorite quote from Pooh. When the walrus says, the time has come to speak of many things. And I often remind him it's time to think of many things as well.
But isn't that grand? I mean, we have people, gurus and experts out there saying no. And don't you think that sometimes it is a grand thing?
Oh, absolutely.
I do.
Life itself is, to me, a remarkable. You know, to me, the human body is the most phenomenal physical creation that we know. But the human mind is even greater. And obviously, the human mind could not exist, in my opinion, without the soul.
Right. You know, throughout all of my decades of working, and I can remember at the early age of like 17, I think, I was part of my school curriculum. I was in the morgue for like 6 months, you know, and, you know, helping them and things. That was in the 70s when there was no OSHA around. You could do whatever, you know. And I remember doing that, and then being in open heart surgery and having a same experience where, you know, here we're going to just bypass on this heart, feel what the heart feels like, and you put your hand in it and everything. And I think also to work with clients of end of life and also be there to be able to touch their body as their soul and their heart transition and transform. Don't you think that the experiences, if we really wish, are there?
Oh, absolutely. And I wish that everyone could experience that knowing, that absolute certainty, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think okay is so relative, right?
Oh, like most of our individuality, everything.
Right. You know, I had someone I had spoken to at one time, and they said that they were in a very deep depression. I said, fantastic, fabulous. You have now defined your space. And then be okay there. Can you be okay in depression? Can you be okay in significant pain? I would say yes.
Well, everything is a matter of attitude. We're back to that. You know, your attitude about experiencing, accepting those things you cannot change and putting energy into those things you can create.
Right. And I think people, I think what I do on this radio show is really about sharing experiences, yours and mine, and be able to say that there's so much more out there. And to be able to be excited about that, you know. We can be excited now that there's so much more to do. Dr. Shealy, can you also share, you talk a lot in your book about the the circle of fire and of water and of crystals. Can you share about that?
The earth, yes.
Yes.
All of these, of course, came to me through my guide, G. And the first one was, you know, the one, fire is the energy, you know, the total mm-hmm. energy of the body and the mind. Air is essentially, to me, the connection with intuition. knowing, what he calls simultaneity of thought.
Right.
Water is emotions and flow. Earth is groundedness. And crystal, you know, we are crystalline structures. Water itself is crystalline, but our body is a crystalline structure. And the energy of those circuits has very specific things. For instance, stimulating the range of fire raises DHEA, dehydroepiandrosterone. The ring of air raises both neurotensin, which is a neuroleptic, but more importantly, oxytocin, the law of the bonding hormone. Water normalizes aldosterone, which is the water and potassium balancing. Earth raises calcitonin, which keeps our bones strong. And crystal reduces free radical. Stimulation of the ring of crystal daily lowers the free radical production in your body 80% long term if you continue doing it. We've got people gone 2 years lowering their free radicals 80% consistently just by using crystal bliss.
And it's so different to be able to think, do I need to just sit down and guzzle all of my wine to get all my antioxidants and then cause another issue? You know, it's, you know, people, the media will deliver whatever you request. Just sit down and wait, you know. And I think the idea of being able to say, what can I do within myself to help my body and just to function and to be able to regenerate is so important, yes?
And that's to be at peace with yourself and the universe.
You know, it's interesting. You wrote it. I saw this line in the book. I have it underlined, and it says, window of the sky points. I specifically, distinctly remember myself saying, I think it was probably maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, I pulled out my acupuncture book and started looking up some of these points, and that consistently kept coming up, window of the sky, under an alternative description of it, but also to the ghost points, you know. They kept coming up also, and I said, oh, you know, okay. So I kind of looked in them, I kind of explored them, walked through them, and then kind of set it to the side, and there it was again in your book. So I think it's really interesting that things will show up that will be able to help guide you to heal if you're listening. Don't you think a lot of your clients will come in almost saying, I know this, I have a feeling of this, what about that?
Absolutely. You know, again, I love the concept of windows of the sky. There are 22 of them, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are, I mean, they've been known for 4,000 years.
Right.
And so people 4,000 years ago knew that we had this physical, energetic connection with the divine.
Yeah, and I think that it's been lost, don't you think?
Oh, heavens, yes. Unfortunately, to me, religion is the fight for God. Mysticism is the search for God, and we should be on the mystical path.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I would say all my life I've been aware that there is what I call the divine. And that brings us to one of my most favorite subjects today, which is scalar energy. According to physicists, all empty space is filled with this powerful physical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In a teacup of empty space is enough energy, if focused properly, to boil all the world's oceans. Now that's the power of God to me.
Yeah, I think there's quite a bit now out there about scalar energy. And I think that it has been misconstrued, bottled up, and packaged nicely in a bow. And I think some of the mystical parts and the magic of it are missed, and they're still putting it out there.
I like the idea that every time I breathe, I am inhaling a teacup, if you will, of all that wonderful God energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can use my belief system, my intuition, my acceptance, that is the power of God, and I can feed it into my body, and it can do what it was meant to do.
And the idea of also, too, we're turning around and having meditation and Tai Chi, yoga, all of these things, you know, it's funny, sorry, it just came to my mind. Someone said the other day, they said, Well, we want to know that if breathing can really help you heal. And we're going to pinch your nose and we're going to say, is mouth breathing better than nose breathing? And I went, what the heck? You know? And it just totally, I went, and you got millions to be able to study this. This makes no sense to me. You know? And I think to be able to understand that, just as you said, exist in the potential versus security in the dogma facts.
Absolutely. Knowing but feeling at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And living that. I mean, every day I honestly am aware, not just that I'm here as a physical being, but I'm here for a purpose. And for me, that purpose is to help others.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Shealy, can you also share how to integrate your MD and your spiritual awareness and be able to take that and transform that into something that people say, how do I make that leap? In other words, I'm stuck in the old. I can sense and I'm having an attraction to the new, but I don't see how it fits together.
Well, I have 57 different guided imageries that I have created, and I, expose people to several of them and have them choose a form that allows them to just be at peace. To me, I don't know anything else to call it. Just, wow, that's wonderful. And that's the state I want people to be able to take themselves into. I can't do it for them. I can give them techniques to get there with breathing and imagery and thinking, but mostly to being. And so I teach everyone how to be at peace.
Yeah. I think to shed identity and dogma is sometimes like, can you just leave that all outside the door? It's almost like when they come inside of our office, it's almost like you got to walk through this sage mist, you know, to let all of that like fall to the ground. It's almost like I have to consistently sweep my doorstep to be able to keep it all out there.
I like that. Yeah. No question. I do believe in mentally cleansifying, if you will, the energy in a building.
Right. Because I think also, too, the idea that people are working on their minds and their spirituality these days, but they're still existing with family members, the work job that they have, or other things that they're existing in, and they're saying, I'm not quite able to disassociate from that yet, but yet I can still see this. And I say to those people, continue, because one day you'll notice you'll turn around and those other people won't be there. Or you'll turn around and they might be right alongside you. Yes?
Yeah, again, I think the most important thing that we as physicians can do is teach. We teach principles. We teach spirituality. And we teach habits that help people get there.
Right. And I think we're almost there. What do you think? Or maybe how about this? We have lifted our feet off of the ground. Yes.
Yeah, we haven't taken flight yet, but we're on the verge.
Right. And boy, I'll tell you, sometimes when you lift your feet off the ground, it's like, oh, boy, you just don't want to put them back down again. You know that concept of grounding? Well, I got to ground into the earth. And I say to people, you know, the earth is rising, too. You don't have to ground into that old earth.
Yes, we grow into the next dimension.
Right. So it's kind of cool. So I can sometimes say, you know, let's just all rise up together. And they're almost like, oh, okay. You know, and I think sometimes when you take that breath, you've just let release and you've just let go. That breath is all about it, yes?
I agree totally. I often tell people, just look in the mirror and say, I'm okay, because God does not create junk.
That's right. Well, Dr. Shealy, it has been such a great time talking to you today. We probably could go around 100 shades of this forever, yes?
Dr. Jeanette, it is indeed a great pleasure to find someone on the same level of spirituality. Bless you.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I think that every day I come up with something new and they say, oh, goodness, where are we going now? And it's like, I just don't know.
And as our Australian friend would say, good on you, mate.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, the more potential that's out there, it's sort of like, oh, you know, that's so wonderful. You know, in closing, I just wanted to share this. I had spoken to someone. They said, they were talking about grief and loss and end of life and how people were mourning, you know, so much. And, you know, you see it on TV, a lot of the angel readers that are now on television, and they're always asking, I want to know if they're okay. And I said, why would an angel not be anything but okay? They've let go of the human dogma. And the human dogma is, are we worrying about other people or places or things? And really what you're saying is, you're not asking them if they're okay. What you're saying is am I going to be okay, right?
You've got it.
So, you know, have that conversation with every angel that comes around, right?
Hey, I welcome any angel because they all can be helpful to us.
Absolutely.
Part of the divine.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Shealy, thank you so much for joining us. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information? That would be wonderful.
Yes, they can go to normshealy.com or shealywellness.com. And my website has all kinds of information about the protocols, the things we do, and what I would call health in general.
Dr. Shealy, it was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
A mutual one. Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. C. Norman Shealy, the book is Conversations with G, A Physician's Encounter with Heaven. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and you'll go directly to the website. And really do check out the website. There is so much information, many other writings, articles, and books. You'll be able to check into the protocols and say, you know what, this is just opening up my world. I had an instinct, I had a thought, maybe there'll be something better out for me, and you know what, I am going to jump into that magic. Grab your bag of glitter, and here we go. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.